Item six, Grant and Carol. Morning.
I'm Bradley Reams. I've been in the Habitat Management Division for 6 years, handling permit compliance inspections. Mr. Fox may remember, I believe I was at his house a couple years ago to do a wetlands inspection. And I've had some page three items before you in the past, but this is my first page one.
No kidding. Your first one. And how long have you been with us?
I've been started in fisheries 2006, so almost 7 years.
And this is your first page?
Page one
item.
Yeah.
You need to relay some of your abilities to some of the other staff members, I think. Cut down on some of these page one items. Well, we're glad you're here.
Brandon Caro, BMRC number 2011-0533, is requesting permit modification for after-the-fact authorization to retain a wooden stairway, an upstairs room, two overlook platforms, an additional upstairs flooring that was constructed on a previously permitted, partially sited, non-commercial boathouse adjacent to his property located at 1 Hale Road along Piscataway Creek in Essex County. The Ancaro property is located approximately halfway between Ware's Wharf to the south and Tappahannock to the north. It's 1 mile upstream from the confluence of Piscataway Creek and the Rappahannock River. Route 17 crosses Piscataway Creek upstream from the property. This is a 2009 aerial image. You may be able to see in this area right here, there's some piling remnants from a cannery that Mr. Ancaro informed me about. The pilings were removed when the pier was built. This 2011 Google image shows the Ancaro Pier prior to the boathouse being built. This ground shot was taken October 20th, 2011, prior to the permit that was issued for the boathouse. On December 11th, 2011, the Marine Resources Commission administratively issued a permit to Mr. Ancaro for a partially sited, non-commercial, 1,000-square-foot boathouse, an attached 5.5-foot tall by 50-foot long timber wave screen. This cross-section drawing was included in the 2011 boathouse permit. Highlighted in green are the roof and partial 4-foot siding along both sides of the pier and pier end. The yellow arrow highlights the roof peak height of 19 feet. And down here at the bottom, this green arrow shows the wave screen location. On August 2nd, 2012, staff conducted a compliance inspection of the project and noted a stairway, two overlook platforms, an upstairs room were being built without permit authorization. Staff left a business card with the builder and informed the individual that the unauthorized work appeared to be a permit violation. This picture and the next five slides were taken on that day. This picture shows the stairway leading up to the upstairs room. Measures 4 feet by 14 feet. Overlook platform, two of these were built on either side of the boathouse, measuring 3 feet wide by 12 feet long. with a 3 foot 6 inch tall railing. This picture shows the overlook platform on the channelward side of the boathouse. Sliding glass doors were installed on both sides of the boathouse for access to the overlook platforms. This shows the upstairs room. It measures approximately 20 by 20. This is the door that leads to the stairway. To the right, you'll see a bit of the sliding glass door, and to the left out of the picture is the other sliding glass door location. Several weeks passed without hearing from the builder or Mr. Ancaro. Staff subsequently contacted Mr. Ancaro by phone. An on-site meeting was scheduled for September 19, 2012 to discuss the situation and conduct a more thorough inspection. Mr. Ancaro and the marine contractor who constructed the pier and installed the boathouse pilings attended the meeting. During the meeting, the areas constructed in violation of the VMRC permit were identified by staff. Staff also noted the additional flooring on the upstream end of the boathouse had been constructed since the original inspection on August 2, 2012. This, however, a gap between the two sections of flooring, Mr. Ancaro explained the unauthorized work stemmed largely from his desire to improve the structural integrity of the building. He explained that the additional flooring helped to stabilize the movement of the boathouse generated by boat wakes. He further advised that the dormer windows and upstairs room were constructed by a framing contractor under his direction, and that the pier contractor was not involved in the unauthorized work. This picture shows the wall that divides the upstairs room and the open space that leads to additional flooring built between August and September 2012. This picture was taken on the September 2012 follow-up visit. You're looking at the upstream end of the boathouse. This shows the open space and additional flooring that was constructed. You see the reflection from the water here. This shot is looking up from the pier at the additional flooring. I didn't measure this flooring due to the safety hazard, but Mr. Ancaro indicates it measures 14 feet by 20 feet. On October 22, 2012, a sworn complaint and notice to comply, number 12-10, were sent to Mr. Ancaro, directing Mr. Ancaro to remove the stairway, second floor additions, or to submit an after-the-fact application to retain unauthorized structures within 60 days. Applicant's counsel, Mr. John Daniel, submitted a letter and new cross-sectional drawing of the boathouse on November 16, 2012. In the letter, Mr. Daniel asked the commission to consider modifying the existing permit to include the additions that had been constructed without commission authorization. This slide of the cross-section drawing that was submitted with the modification in November 2012, the green area highlights the permitted boathouse. I have put orange arrows where it was constructed without authorization. The red arrow shows the correct roof peak height to the left or to the right here. The 19 feet is incorrect. On January 7th, 2013, staff sent an email to Mr. Ancaro and Mr. Daniel asking them to explain the need and intended use of the second floor additions, and to identify who directed and oversaw the construction of the unauthorized work. The correspondents also requested the submittal and of an updated drawing showing the additional height of the boathouse roof, since it obviously deviated from the permitted height. light of the plan view drawing showing the dimensions of the flooring indicated in green. Red arrows indicate door locations. Yellow arrows indicate the stairway and window locations. The blue area is the open area. Mr. Incaro sent staff an email on Tuesday, January 15th, 2013, advising the upstairs flooring enhanced the stability of the boathouse and reduced the swaying caused by boat wakes. He explained the marine contractor, Mr. Scott Smith, used tall banded pilings to support the boathouse in the water, which reaches depths of 30 feet. Mr. Incaro claims that the first section of flooring added to reduce the sway of the structure by about 50%. He explained that the stairs were added to provide easier access to the floor area. Mr. Incaro states the dormer windows and window in the gable end were added for aesthetics and to match the house, new house on the adjacent upland. He advises further that the boathouse was originally only floored on one side to accommodate tall gear on his boat's wheelhouse, but wakes from boats caused the structure to continue to sway on the open end. He states that hundreds of boats pass each day on a summer weekend. To reduce sway on the open end and match aesthetically, the open end was floored also. Mr. Incaro also states in his email that the marine contractor only built the pier and drove the pilings. The construction, framing, roof, and siding on the boathouse was subcontracted by Mr. Incaro to three South American builders. He maintains the unauthorized flooring is required for structural integrity of the boathouse, and the stairs are needed for maintenance access. According to information provided by Mr. Incaro, the new roof peak height is 23 feet 4 inches, 4 feet 4 inches taller than previously permitted. This bathymetric drawing was done by the marine contractor Scott Smith prior to the boathouse permit issuance, showing approximate depths adjacent to the Incaro Pier. Great depths and a soft bottom were reasons for the long pilings. Also shows the pier's encroachment channelward in Piscataway Creek. This cross-section drawing submitted February 5th, 2012 by Mr. Incaro showing the correct roof peak height. The green arrows indicate where I show the raised 4 feet 4 inches of roof height from the original 2011 December permit. As a follow-up, the Incaros have proffered several restrictions regarding the use of the additions, but request keeping the stairs. The proffers include no overnight accommodations, electricity on the second floor and dock area limited to power for boat lift, and floodlights for use in boat mooring after dark, running water limited to house for hose for use at dock, no food preparation equipment, no refrigeration equipment, no fireplace, no cables, antennae, or other internet, satellite, or television connections, no heating or cooling systems. The applicant's after-the-fact request has been subject to public interest review. No protests have been received related to the project. A building permit for the boathouse, as originally authorized by VMRC, was issued by Essex County. However, they have not elected to pursue any enforcement action for the deviations from permit. All right. Summary, when reviewing proposals to build over state-owned submerged land, the Commission's guidelines direct staff to consider, among other things, the water dependency and necessity for the proposed structure. Furthermore, when considering authorization for such structures for private use, Section 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia stipulates that, in addition to other factors, the Commission shall also consider the public and private benefits of the proposed project and shall exercise its authority under this section consistent with the public trust doctrine as defined by the common law of the Commonwealth adopted pursuant to Section 1-200 in order to protect and safeguard the public right to use and enjoyment of the subaqueous land of the Commonwealth held in trust by it for the benefit of the people as conferred by the public trust doctrine and the Constitution of Virginia. The Commission has struggled with the issue of structures built over the water, the concept of water dependency for years. In fact, the Commission's first subaqueous guidelines, developed in 1979, stated the Commission's the Commission will consider water dependency of projects and alternatives for reducing any anticipated adverse impacts. At the July 22, 2003 meeting, the Commission considered and adopted a definition of water dependency and that had been recommended by the Commission's Habitat and Management Advisory Committee. The definition was subsequently included in the subaqueous guidelines adopted by the Commission in 2005. The definition states, as defined by the Commission, water dependent means those structures and activities that must be located in, on, or over state-owned submerged lands. When applying this definition, both of the following questions must be answered affirmatively. One, is it necessary that the structure be located over water? And two, is it necessary that the activity associated with the structure be located over water? Use and definition of water dependency does not necessarily preclude issuance of a permit for non-water dependent structures over state-owned submerged lands. At public hearing, the commission may determine that while a structure is not water dependent, it is a reasonable use of state-owned submerged lands. These types of projects are evaluated on a case-by-case basis. In at least two cases, Thomas C. Evelyn versus Commonwealth Virginia Marine Resources Commission, October 25, 2005, and Stephen A. Palmer versus Commonwealth of Virginia Marine Resources Commission, April 4, 2006. The Virginia Court of Appeals affirmed Circuit Court decision upholding VMRC decisions to require removal of unpermitted structures that had been constructed on private, non-commercial piers and located over state-owned submerged land. In the Evelyn case, the Court of Appeals held that the governing statutes limit a riparian owner's rights such that he may build without a permit only those structures necessary or essential to the placement of a private pier for the limited purpose of accessing navigable waters or vessels moored in those waters. The riparian owner may not build without a permit incidental appendages designed merely to enhance the primary purpose of the pier. The case consisted of an unpermitted 10 by 24 foot roof slash deck with stairs over the pier's T-head. The Palmer case involved the construction of an unauthorized 12 foot by 11 foot storage shed on Mr. Palmer's pier. The Court of Appeals affirmed the Circuit Court of Matthews' decision upholding the Commission's order to remove the shed from his pier. In this case, the Court of Appeals concluded that the evidence was sufficient to support the Commission's denial of the after-the-fact request and specifically referenced the Evelyn case, the public trust doctrine, the Commission's subaqueous guidelines, and the water dependency definition. It's important to note, however, that the Commission considers projects on a case-by-case basis and factors other than water dependency are considered during their deliberations. After review, staff finds it difficult to conclude that the stairway, upstairs flooring, interior wall, two overlook platforms constitute water-dependent additions to the previously authorized boathouse. Additionally, we believe the attached attachment of the wave screen to the boathouse piling significantly contributes to the instability of the structure. Nevertheless, it does appear that the flooring adds to the overall stability of the structure. We could support the retention of the flooring as it currently exists, provided the area is used for nothing more than storage, consistent with the proffers provided by the Anqueros, which should be included in any permit modification. We are, however, concerned the stairway could result in additional uses for the structure and recommend it be removed. Additionally, staff recommends Mr. Anquero be allowed to retain the two overlook platforms, dormer windows, additional roof, since they result in very little additional encroachment. Should the commission choose to authorize the structures as recommended, staff suggests that the approval be further conditioned on Mr. Anquero's agreement to accept a civil charge in the amount of $2,000 for the unauthorized work in lieu of further enforcement action based upon moderate degree of deviation and minimal degree of impact. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Bradley?
I have one, sir.
Mr. Palmer.
I'm going to ask you to scroll back quite a few pictures. You have a picture of the creek itself and how wide it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. There's a picture or a drawing?
It was a picture. That's what I wanted to see. How wide is that creek right there?
I'll have to go back to that bathymetric.
About.
I think it was 200.
You said about 200 feet wide, roughly?
Yeah.
It varies
on the either end of the pier.
Well, that's close.
210, 215, all for the pier.
Yeah, 215 to 166 or
well,
so.
That's close enough. That's what I wanted to know. It's not like it's a mile wide or something like that. It's a narrow little creek. Are there a lot of boats on that creek? When you went there, were you able to observe a lot of boats?
I guess I wasn't there during peak time, during work days and later in the summer, so I don't know.
But did you observe a lot of houses there?
It's pretty rural, so I really can't comment on any boat traffic.
No, I didn't ask about boat traffic. It's how many boats do you see, tied up along that creek? Not many.
Andy, you have a thing?
I'm actually the environmental engineer assigned to the county. It's my understanding that the summer traffic is very routine and common as people pulling the kids on the jet ski. So the recreation boat traffic is quite common.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Thank you very much, sir.
Any other questions? Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. this was originally approved administratively, and I know that there are there's a significant amount of siding on the
on
the project.
The siding was included in the permit.
Was there a compelling rationale as part of the original application for that? I know that's not before us for consideration right now. I just wanted the history on that.
Randy?
He's the compliance officer. I wrote the permit. That's a pretty good size vessel in there. They requested the siding. There was an agent involved up to that process, and I if memory serves me, he was trying to help keep some of the sun off that vessel. I think it's a fairly well maintained vessel, and I'm sure the sun has its effects on it. And I also believe Mr. Anquero could probably tell you exactly why he wanted the sides, but that was my understanding. It was to protect the boat from the ultraviolet.
Thanks, Randy. And again, I know that detail is not before us. So I was just surprised to see that as an element of a permit that would be issued administratively.
Mr. Tanker?
Yeah, I had a couple questions. First was you had a original meeting where you left a card and informed the individual that the unauthorized work appeared to be a permit violation. And then you didn't hear back from anybody. Is that correct?
No, that's correct. It might have been a little bit of a language barrier there because I'm not sure. I don't speak any Spanish, and that's it.
Okay.
Over seemed to be,
But when you returned, what you saw was more work had been done.
Correct.
Okay. And how much, I mean, this is, it seems like a residential structure. I mean, when you look at the residence that's on top of this boathouse, what size? I didn't see that in the, you know, what are we talking about?
50 foot long, so it's 1,000 square feet.
And then there's a hole in the middle.
Right.
And then there's
20 feet of room, basically, with, you know, a wall and another 4 feet of stairs, so that's the 24 feet there, and then 14 feet wide, I believe, on the other end, and then the space in between, so would that leave 24, 14, 36, another 14 feet or so open space in between.
So that in total, it, we've covered and made into a living quarter or house, whatever you might call it. What would you say the total covered with sliding glass doors and windows and all that stuff is?
Total.
How many square feet are we talking? Yeah.
Of decks?
Yes.
Okay. We got 800, 400. It's around 600, probably.
Okay.
Total.
Total.
You include the decking for the overlook platforms and the.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you then. My follow-up question is: Why a moderate degree? Seems like going from a boathouse to what is obviously a residence above a boathouse.
Right.
Why is that just moderate? It seems like when we've given them an application and a permit and they've gone through the process, they've got the bathymetric stuff going. It looks like that's a major degree. Why moderate?
I think that's somewhat reflected in the recommendation of how it should continue to be used in the future. And so the actual additional encroachment of the boathouse, it just went up some. The dormers went out of it, but the actual footprint of the boathouse did not increase very much.
There was a permit for a boathouse.
That's correct.
Right.
It's just, it ended up with a roof that was at a steeper peak, correct? Mm-hmm. And the two dormers on each side and the flooring.
And then they gate, it looks like there's a, at the end of one end, there's a, another doorway and.
That's correct. There's no access to that end. So, you know, part of the moderate compliance would be based on the removal of the stairway and limiting its use.
Tony, let me ask you this while you're up there. The staff is concerned about the stairway.
Yes, sir.
And it seems to be primarily because you're concerned that the existence of a stairway might lead to non-water-dependent uses of the second floor.
That's correct.
Correct. You're okay with the second floor being used for storage, correct?
We feel like the flooring is legitimate to stabilize the building based on the evidence that is presented by the applicant and our observations being out there at staff level. And it's there, and if it's used for, you know, just routine storage of boating equipment that's out there, it didn't add to the encroachment that existed as a result of the boathouse permit to begin with. So that was what it felt it should be limited to, given the circumstances. But that the stairway could contribute to additional uses, and to make it somewhat self-enforcing, removal of the stairway we thought was the best approach.
Mr. Roberts.
Well, I appreciate your question, and I just wanted some further clarification about that storage detail, Tony, because the basis of the Palmer case was that it was not water dependent, and the use of that structure was essentially a storage shed.
That's correct, but the one difference there was that was an entirely new structure on the pier. The storage shed was not anything contemplated in the original review.
Okay.
And so it was built entirely just for storage. It wasn't part of a boathouse or anything like that.
But the storage use that you envision through this is related to the boating equipment itself.
I mean, I just can't imagine them wanting to put other things out there to any great degree because, you know, the house is only up on the ways away. So I can just imagine being able to throw a few things up top that are associated with your boating. And, you know, we wouldn't want to, you know, limit that if the flooring was deemed to be acceptable.
Thank you.
Mr. Fox?
I guess I have, it's, I think it's a little weak argument, but still I can go with the flooring. And if I go with the flooring, I can go with the interior wall. That's all right. Where I have trouble, and I think we'll discuss the stairs some more, but where I have trouble is with the dormers and the overhang. It seems to me that they serve no useful purpose for stability, and they are just basically flaunting the approval that we gave earlier. And so I'm not happy with the two dormers and the viewing platforms.
I think that's certainly a reasonable perspective.
Any other questions at this point? Let's hear from the applicant. John.
Good morning.
How are you?
For your record, John Daniel, on behalf of Grant and Susan and Caro. Good to see you all. I guess first, in the spirit of candor and full disclosure, I should tell you that Mrs. Ann Caro is my law partner. She may or may not have had something to do with some of the aesthetics that were on somebody's honey-do list as this project matured. So I tell you that just so you know where I'm coming from. Let me say first and foremost that unlike a lot of things we've discussed in the past, the cooperative spirit, I think, notwithstanding the fact that a business card was left and may not have been followed up on, I don't know what happened to that, but I think there's been a tremendous amount of cooperation as this process has moved on. Brad and Randy and Tony and the staff have been most helpful in conversing on the matter. And with the exception of maintaining the stairways, we don't quibble at all with the staff report that's before you. So I want to say a couple of things about the staff report, particularly the flooring and its genesis, but I don't want to trespass too much on your time this morning, but I'm happy to, of course, answer questions as we go along. So Let me, with respect to the flooring, staff report may lead one to believe that it was strictly the Grant and Caro's doing that the flooring would create additional structural stability. In point of fact, I think staff has observed the problems that with swaying as a result of boat traffic and other uses of the creek, and that in fact, because of the depth of the poles and the size of the poles and the height, that there was in fact swaying going on with respect to the boathouse. And notwithstanding any number of other things, we certainly don't want to create a situation where we end up in the Marine Improvement Fund utilizing resources to clean up damage that resulted from perhaps unstructural, unintegrity to the structures. Secondly, in his private business, Mr. Ann Caro is responsible for the installation of significantly heavy equipment. He has graduate studies in structural engineering, and so it's a reasonable solution, and I think, in fact, there's nobody here that would, again, quibble with whether or not it actually achieved the goal. So the flooring is there for a structural purpose, and I think certainly probably consistent with a water dependency argument. During the process, we made a number of commitments in the form of proffers, if you will, with respect to the second floor of this. You will recognize a number of them. They are proffers that you all have accepted in another matter. That came before this commission, which was ultimately approved and had a lot of the same concerns, I think, with respect to habitability of the second floor. And I would tell you, Mr. Tanker, there never, you can ask Mr. Ancare, but there was never any intention that the second floor of this boathouse be a residence of any nature whatsoever. So the propers were there. We offered them primarily with respect to the stairway and trying to find a way to assure staff in their review of the project that the second floor would be used and limited only to storage for marine tackle and other things associated with, as a number of you all, Mr. Inker, as an avid fisherman with a substantial vessel that sits in that boathouse. And as you can imagine, I guess by virtue of hobby, we collect things, and there's a lot of that material and a lot of that equipment that needs to be stored from time to time. I think the staff report was sort of moved. I'm happy to talk about water dependency and 28.2-1205, but the staff is recommending a number of items be kept, I think, which is probably except for the flooring. They may or may not be water-dependent activities, so we're sort of in that area, in my view, where we make these decisions on a case-by-case basis, which, of course, both the guidelines and the statutory language and the interpretation of the cases cited by staff authorize you to do. There are, of course, other cases, if you all want to talk about them, which go the other way from Palmer and Evelyn. And a lot of things that have been done historically at the commission that, you know, maybe didn't reach to the point of getting an ultimate decision. But at the end of the day, we're talking about things, it seems to me, that are within that area of discretion by both the staff and this commission as you consider these after the fact circumstances. The stairway is permanent. The alternative, of course, would be using a ladder of some sort to access the second floor for the plywood floor for storage. There were, in one picture, some fairly heavy items. I think there were some boating chairs and other things that needed to go up and down that stairway. I think a ladder simply that went up and down may do the trick, but at the end of the day, it also may create some circumstances which are unsafe for movement of things up and down. And my final comment to you would be that, as I understand it, and as we've applied 28.2-1205 over time, the real purpose, of course, is when anybody builds anything over the territory of the bottom land, of which this commission has fiduciary responsibility, you know, we have to take a careful look to make sure that it's, you know, within the bounds of what is appropriate use of that, because it ultimately takes it out of the public domain, which is the reason we protect it, I think, in the first place. There's not a single item here, stairway in particular, which utilizes any additional public domain. That space has already been approved for this purpose of this boathouse. There is no lingering effect on the public at large. There's no property that's been taken out of their active public use. In fact, in this instance, there's not a single, has not been a single protest. In fact, the project has been supported by neighbors and others as it's moved forward. So we would respectfully request that you carefully consider maintaining the stairways for purposes of utilizing the upstairs for storage. I think the staff is concerned, and they say in their report, they're concerned about the stairway because it, quote unquote, could result in additional uses for the structure, as they have now recommended it to you. I don't know where the staff's belief and the could result in some other use can be found in the law as a justification for requiring the removal of something. And consequently, I think that coupled with the suggestions I've made to you with respect to what impact this has on the public's ownership of the Sebaquis Bottoms and the public domain would hopefully result in a recommendation by this commission that the stairways be allowed to be maintained. I'm happy to one final point. We will, of course, ask that you consider a little bit less civil charge than the $2,000 that's been recommended by staff. That matters before the commission. And I'm happy to answer any questions or have Mr. Anker answer any structural questions or other detailed questions with respect to the boathouse.
Any questions for Mr. Daniels? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Daniels, I think the concern that the staff brings forward about the stairs relates to other potential uses of that space. It's in my mind, it's not that that space is being taken out of the public domain. It's that potentially with the stairway there, there could be expanded uses of that upstairs that, for example, might result in other things other than boating equipment being placed up there. And then if we were to have the unfortunate event of a severe storm or hurricane, potentially those things end up going into the waterway. You know, I think that's one of the elements of the policy for water dependency, or one of the justifications for it. And yet there are certainly other ways, I think, to get at that same issue. That is to ensure that there aren't expanded uses of that second floor, and I think that can be done through the proffers. You've got a number here that are relatively comprehensive, but it sounds like from the discussion that staff has brought forward and from your statements here today that the intent is to limit the use of that upstairs to the storage of boating equipment. And if, in fact, that's the case, I submit that that might be considered something that could be added to the proffers as a condition of the permit, and then the board could discuss whether or not to leave the stairwell or to leave that stairway in the alternative so that you know, we would be controlling the use of that space or limiting the use of that space through the conditions of the permit rather than by the physical removal of the stairway. So I don't know if you could comment on that trade-off.
I'm happy to. We worked very hard in our conversation with staff to come up with items which could be proffered that would find that comfort level that the upstairs area would be used only for storage. I mean, I know the concern. The concern is that if it comes up, you know, a party house, it's a great place to go at 5 o'clock, you know, or at the end of the day. I get it. But that's not the intention of the ANCARE is in any way, shape, or form. If there are other conditions that the commission would like to see relative to that use, if you want to say specifically that it's used for storage of equipment associated with fishing and or water uses, I don't think that would be an issue whatsoever with the end carers. But we tried, Mr. Robbins, to be comprehensive. I went to, frankly, the best source of things with which the commission had some familiarity, if you will, and tried to list them here in order to parrot what has historically what had been done, at least in one other case in the past.
Thank you.
Mr. Palmer.
The original permit was for a 19-foot-tall boathouse, correct?
Four feet four shorter than whatever.
Right,
it is.
I'm looking at it.
It was shorter than what it is.
It's 5'3" is the permit. At what point did we decide to go from 19 feet to 23 feet 4 inches and put dormers and decks and all the rest on there without planning ahead and trying to get that approved by the commission? Or is this simply a matter of, well, I've got a permit, I'm going to build it, and if I get caught, I'll pay it as defined because it's part of doing business?
I'd say first, it wasn't on council's advice that it transpired that way. I don't know how these things happen. I mean, you all that deal with after the fact, I mean, I've sat in this audience and heard of hundreds of them. In fact, I went back and looked over the last 5 years at just looking at agendas and after the facts and things and circumstances that had changed. And, you know, 100% of those got approved in some form or fashion. Not every single item that people may have asked for got approved. But I can't explain how this happened. I did the best I could, I thought, at the onset with my full and fair disclosure with respect to how some of these things transpire. I suspect, and I haven't been to the site, but I suspect that, again, not unlike some other matter, that the boathouse, from an aesthetic perspective, now looks more like the residence.
Perhaps Mr. Ancaro will be interested in saying how things changed.
Excuse me?
It's up to Mr. Ancaro, but perhaps he'd be interested in explaining how things changed from the original permit to what we have. It's his choice, but.
Do you have anything to add? I mean, I think he would, I think he would tell you what I've told you. I don't think there's a good reason. I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that my friend Mrs. Ann Carroll set out to try to somehow manipulate the commission by getting something less than she ultimately had visualized in her head and turned around intentionally and did something different. I don't think the staff would tell you that they think there was any intent to manipulate this commission in any way, shape, or form for purposes of building something different than that for which they obtained an original permit.
Any other questions? Mr. Tite.
Well, you've been before us numerous times, and you've seen how we pay attention to law. And you've seen different cases in front of us. Do you think that we would have approved this residence above the boathouse originally?
Well, I don't have that kind of crystal ball. But I would tell you that I could make a strong argument under the Sebaquis guidelines, the definition of water dependency, and the public trust doctrine, which 1205 commends your attention to, that this could be approved from the get-go. And I say that because, again, I go back to the fundamental basis, Mr. Tankard, for the reason that we require these permits, and that's to exercise your fiduciary duty with respect to the public's domain. And I don't think any of these additions or the boathouse. Once the boathouse was permitted and approved, I don't think any of the additions in any way remove any additional enjoyment of the public's property from the public. So I don't have a crystal ball, but I would like to think, given the reasonableness of the project, given the neighborhood, given the absence of protestants, and absence of, frankly, any real adjacent properties, that it would have been approved.
May I have a follow-up question?
Yes, sir.
Oh, so then that brings me to the question of, if Mr. Ancaro was a structural engineer and he had a marine contractor, why didn't we apply for what we're back here for today?
Let me correct you. I hope I didn't leave the impression that Mr. Ancaro was a structural engineer. I think he applies structural engineering in his work, and he does have graduate study in structure, but he's not, quote-unquote, a licensed structural engineer, so I first want to make that clear. Secondly, I don't, again, it's almost a little bit of a crystal ball, but I don't think anybody conceived that the swaying of the boathouse after the initial installation of the pilings and the attachment of the sidings and roof and so forth would have resulted in the kind of movement that was observed both by Mr. Ancaro and by staff after it was constructed. So, I mean, sometimes I think we build things and, you know, we have to go back and we have to tighten them up a bit, if you will. And I think that's, you know, what happened here. Could it have been foreseen? You know, maybe if you'd added another $20,000 to do some kind of study about 50-foot piles, 30 of which is buried in the bottom, maybe.
Any other questions? Mr. Fox.
Mr. Daniel, how old is Mr. Ancaro?
He's 40 years. He's 40 years old.
Okay, well, I think there's one sure thing is that he's going to get older as time goes on. And I guess we have a discussion about the stairwell. And indeed, as a 40-year-old person, he is probably quite capable of going up a ladder and storing stuff at the top of the ladder. But as he gets older, that is going to become more difficult and actually probably dangerous. So I guess I have less trouble with the stairway than some of my associates do. I am still troubled by the dormers and the overhangs, which were not permitted. And it seems to me that they are only there as an inducement to activities on this top level that were not contemplated in your request. Suppose they were to be removed, what damage would come?
Can't go back to the office. Sorry. You know, I'm hung up on the how we can't go up and down a ladder like we once could, actually. In seriousness, I think the dormers are likely aesthetic as much as anything, as you recognize. I do think they have some tie in to the main residence. I don't think they themselves, given the proffers and the restrictions and the conversation that Mr. Robbins and I had a moment ago with respect to some language limiting the use of the flooring to storage, I don't think, given that admonition of the commission, would certainly outweigh any potential inducement, I think, to go up and take a view through a dormer, and that's the best answer I have for you.
Bradley, could you put the floor plan slide back up that shows what the second floor? When you get to the top of the stairs there, is there a way to close off the area, secure it? There's a door. Is there a door there at the top of the stairs?
There is.
There's a door. There's a door right there.
Yeah, with a lock on.
And then there's a wall at the open.
There's a wall here.
Right there. At this point, you don't have any plans to further finish the interior of the second floor.
No, sir.
I mean, right now, it's plywood and
timbers,
plywood, joists,
and exposed roofing, and
rafters.
No, I can assure you nothing else will be done at this facility without talking to you all. We hope not to do that.
My take on this is we could, I think, solve the staff's concerns and whatever concerns the commission members might have by simply explicitly stating that that area can only be used for storage of marine equipment. Rather than this long list of, I don't have any objection to that long list of proffers, but it seems to me, as you pointed out, that I'd rather see something explicit that makes it clear that it can only be used for storage. I think that takes all the guesswork out of it, doesn't it? Something for you to consider.
That would be certainly acceptable to the end there.
Any final questions from Mr. Daniel?
I guess I'm still concerned about the dormers and the sliding glass doors as they pertain to others looking at this in the future and building other piers elsewhere. And I guess I'll go with the argument, although I think it's a little weak, that the dormer facing the house, this one, probably has some aesthetic tie into the house. The one facing the creek down here, I think probably does not. I wonder whether the applicant would offer to get rid of that one.
Any comments?
The matter, as he would say, seems to me to be with the commission. I'm not going to, I don't have any authority or anything else to offer you all to remove the dormer on the water side. Remember, we don't have, we've proffered to you that aside from, I think, some floodlights for returning after dark, is the only electrical facility that would be at the place. So to some degree, daylight, it helps with visibility up there. So I can't, I appreciate the point, but I can't.
Well, it does add an additional encroachment on over the water in that it hangs out.
I'm sticking with the staff recommendation.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir. Mr. Sessom.
I'm going to agree with Mr. Fox on the stairs and with what you're saying about the use restriction. I think that if we want to stick with storage, then that's the use restriction. And I think from a safety standpoint, keeping the stairs there, if we say we want it to be storage, the stairs need to stay with regard to hauling things up to the top, so we need to be cognizant of the safety issue, too. So that's where my thinking is, and I'm prepared to make a motion to the effect.
Well, let's see if there's anyone else who wishes to comment on the application, then we'll come back to you for a motion. Do you have a question?
I have a comment.
Okay.
Good. My would be, you know, from my experience here, as you mentioned, we've had a lot of after the facts. We see them all the time. But, you know, after six or so years here, this looks kind of like gaming the system to me. And I would still say that it's a minimal and major degree. I mean, we had a permit that was issued, and now we have to have a hearing, and we've had to have a lot of staff involvement, a lot of staff expense, and I suspect that it's at least cost this commission $3,000 to do it. So I would, if I made a motion at some point, it would be with keeping the stairs and going with a major degree and a minimal and major.
Okay. Any other comments?
I'm going to jump in. I am troubled and sorry that you feel like this is a situation of gaming the commission. It's not. And I hope you all, I have never tried in any way, shape, or form to come to this commission except with the facts that we've found, and then that's not the way I go about my business. And granted, there was a lot of history here before I may have gotten involved, but I'm sorry you feel that way, and I hope that going forward, should you all allow this, approve this after the fact, that will be proved to be in the negative. The only thing I'd say about the civil charge element is, remember, you know, why we have these civil charges. I don't think it's to recover time or resources from the commission. The money, as I understand it, you know, gets dropped into the Marine Waterways Improvement Fund to clean up debris from permitted activities after storm and so forth. So I don't, unfortunately, and if you all want to go forward with some legislative initiative to recover the cost of your staff and that of them and these things, I'm with you, because it's woefully short of what it requires of you all to do your work. So,
Mr. Dan, you have anyone else who wishes to speak?
I do not.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak in opposition to the application? All right. Seeing none. Thank you. Matters before the commission, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a case that when the differences from what was originally permitted are considered cumulatively, there is a significant departure from what was originally applied for and permitted administratively by the commission. And I think we have to look at each one of those things, though, individually. So we've got the considerations about the dormers and the flooring. And I think as we do that, we need to look at the public and private benefits and detriments. And I think with respect to the dormers, I appreciate the fact that they appear to be a significant departure from what was permitted. And yet, if you consider removing them as a cure, there's a significant private detriment, and I would argue that the public benefit in that instance is relatively limited. And so I don't think I would support requiring removal of those. I think I would agree with the staff recommendation that those remain. But as we've already discussed, the concern about the uses that this might be put to that staff brought forward are compelling, and I think they're best addressed as we've already had some conversation around just adding to the existing proffers an explicit condition that it be limited to the storage of fishing and boating equipment. Because ultimately, if this use changed and you ended up with a rec room or a living arrangement above the boathouse, then there's not much more stored up there that could ultimately end up in the waterway in the event of a hurricane or major storm event. So I think it would be appropriate to limit it and leave the stairwell so that they could safely access the area. If this were just a structural fix, putting a flooring in the second floor would probably not be the preferred structural fix. And it unfortunately comes with it, it brings with it these attendant concerns about use and what else might go up there. Trying to leave that in place to provide for a structural fix, I think, requires that we limit the use of it. So that's what I would suggest.
Mr. Sessoms, did you have a motion?
My motion, yes, Mr. Chairman, my motion would be that we approve it, allowing the stairs to be kept there, but having a use restriction that it be for storage only for the for boating equipment.
Any part of your motion deal with the civil charge?
And maintain the civil charge.
Of $2,000. All right. We have a motion to approve the permit, allowing all of the items to remain, that we add a restriction that the structure be used only for the storage of boating equipment.
Boating equipment, right.
And that there be a $2,000 civil charge. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second, sir.
Second about Mr. Palmer. Mr. Robbins, comment on the motion?
Just a question. I just want to clarify that limitation would be in addition to the proffers that have already been made by the applicant. Is that?
That is correct. In addition to the proffers.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for that clarity. Any final comments on the motion? Mr. Tank?
Yeah, I think the pictures tell the story. I mean, to me, it's a residence above a boathouse. Yeah, we have sliding glass doors, dormers. We've got little stairways out over the water, and we've got a stairway. I think it's fairly egregious, and I would go for a major degree of noncompliance.
And that would take it to what, $3,000?
$3,000 only. I mean, it would be better than getting rid of the dormer. It would be better than getting rid of the staircase. I think that's a safety issue if, in fact, we're going to allow them to store things there.
And I think it lets us know, lets people know that, you know, when you have an application and we approve it, we're kind of serious about it.
Okay. Any other comments? Ready to vote?
Was that in the form of a substitute motion? Or
I can make that in the form of a substitute motion.
You're offering that as an amendment?
Amendment, yes.
A motion
correct.
To amend the $2,000 to $3,000. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second to the amendment?
I'll second the amendment.
Seconded by Mr. Fox. Comments on that motion? Ready to vote on the amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Let's see a show of hands on this one. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? Like sign? 2, 4 to 2. The motion is amended to $3,000. Now we're back on the main motion as amended. Any final comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amended motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries.
Thank you.
On the amendment, it was Robbins and Sessoms.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Good discussion.